Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this Wessex Safety Hour, hosted by Bradley Smith. My name is Dave, I'm the event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, just key *0 on your telephone and we'll be happy to help. I'd like to advise all parties the conference is being recorded, and I'd like to hand over to Bradley. Please go ahead, Bradley.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bradley Smith. Quick introduction, I'm a new scheme project manager working in the health and safety team. I've got a couple of projects on the go, Safety Hour being one of them. So I would like to talk about two things this week, if possible. It being Mental Health Awareness Week, that being one of them, I feel it's relevant and on topic. And the second one is Safety Hour itself, and I'll go a little bit further into that as we go on. I'm joined today by Adam Stewartson. If you want to introduce yourself.
I'm a maintenance performance manager for Wessex.
So he will be giving me some statistics and other information feeding into the second half as we go on to the safety hour bit. So Mental Health Awareness Week. I've been sent in by email by Occupational Health and Wellbeing Manager that some statistics for you. Only a small minority of people, 13%, report living with high levels of good mental health. People over the age of 55 report experience better mental health than average. Again, people age 55 and above are most likely to take positive steps to help themselves deal better with everyday life. This includes spending time with family and friends, going for walks, spending more time on interests. More than 4 in 10 people say that they have experienced depression. Over a quarter of people say they have experienced panic attacks. The most notable difference are associated with household income and economic activity. Nearly 3 in 4 people living in the lowest household income bracket report having experienced a mental health problem, compared to 6 in 10 in the highest household income bracket. And nearly 2/3 of people say that they have experienced a mental health problem. This rises to 7 in every 10 women, young adults aged 18 to 34, and people living alone. So on that topic, if you go onto the Wessex Safety Hour website, we have some material there for yourselves. There's a short video about Mental Health Week and also a survey. You can take a survey, the 7-10 questions, I believe, and that will give you an indicator to where you are on the scale combined to the national average of mental health. Quickly on the Mental Health Week then, is there any questions around this topic in particular that you would like to ask, as I believe Safety Hour should be a discussion forum, not just a quick brief and a listen material. So if you have any questions and make it a conversation, then please feel free to do so.
Thank you very much, Bradley. So if you'd like to ask a question, it's *1 on your telephone, record your name and then press the hash key. That's *1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key, please. Nothing coming through for you just at the moment there, Bradley. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, it's *1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key, please. Okay, we do have a question coming through for you now, Bradley. This comes from... Please go ahead.
Hi, Brad. Just a quick question regarding the sort of format of this call, and I just find it really difficult just to do that, dial in and pick up, and it's quite a pressing thing to do when you're, you know, you may not have something particular to say, or you've got a point that you're not quite sure about how to formulate the word, and you might be nervous. So, yeah, it's not the best style, I don't think. It'd be nice to find an easier way to interact with what's being said, if that's possible. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So that leads me on to the next topic, really, which would be the safety hour itself. One of my projects is developing the safety hour. So Phil Houghton's view was that we have a safety discussion that is an open conversation around subjects that are safety related. I feel, now correct me if I'm wrong, this is my fifth week into the company, so I'm still learning, that we aren't utilising what Safety Hour was created for to its advantages. It seems to be a brief and not a conversation. So I am in my research stage, looking into the project, seeing playing with ideas that we could improve it, make it more interact in between people, so it's a more open format than it currently is. There's a couple of suggestions that I've had about not having a conference call at all and having a meeting instead, but then it's people's time, and I'm sure a lot of diaries won't be able to accept another meeting into the schedule. So I've spoke to the National Safety Culture Change Consultant, and she specialises in coming in to different routes and developing certain safety projects, all in the Home Safe Plan, one of the projects being Safety Hour. One of her jobs is to come in and upskill the facilitators of the conversation, so we have a better understanding exactly of why we're doing it and what benefits it will bring, so the facilitators are more equipped with the right resources to facilitate literally the conversation instead of the format that currently exists in. I've discussed with her, and there's a Safety Hour facilitator toolkit that is a briefcase that has paddle boards and balls and all these wonderful things that look very nice on the picture. But Wessex being a devolved route now, it is our choice to see how we want to proceed with Safety Hour, because at the minute we're dialing in and we're not using it to its full potential. So that sort of brings me on to the statistics side of it. What is it at the minute that what is our percentage from the dial-in compared to people getting together around a mess hall or a mess van and actually having a conversation?
So it varies by week, but normally it's about 20% dial-in to the call compared to the 80% who have the conversation.
So I would argue there that the 80% are the ones doing it correctly and have that open format, and this conference call we're doing it incorrectly and not having an open conversation. We're having a Q&A session, which is a lot of the time met by a silence brick wall. So thank you, Sam, for your question. It's once in a blue moon that we actually get one. So I'll put it to everyone on this conference call now. You are the stakeholders, because Safety Hour affects you all. How do you see it going forward? Do you have any suggestions? Do you have any concerns? Do you have any pick-up points that why it's not working that we can all use going forward? Because together as a Wessex group, I believe that we should be pulling together and using this to its full potential. So is there anyone else that wants to add on to that topic, please?
another reminder, it's star 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key if you'd like to ask a question, please. Another question for you now. This comes from
Tracy Capstick.
Please go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, Brad. It's very brave of you. And I don't know how many people you have had phone in today, but I kind of want to reiterate your message, which is a lot of people phone in, and probably some phone in and don't listen. So, being a great believer in people get what they deserve, effectively, and you can't sit around about and moan about stuff. The DUs and Works Delivery have another safety hour, but for this forum, and when you're sat there doing it, it's a very lonely place. Anybody that phones in regularly and has an opinion, I would urge them to get on this conference call and talk to you, because you are the man who's going to revamp the process. So it's a case of I'm not necessarily asking you a question. What I'm saying is people need to engage if they want to see a better format. And that could be a number of things, including the time, the material, who does it, what it's aimed at, anything at all. Because in order for you to do this project successfully, you kind of need to know what the people think. So come on, people. Phone in and speak to Brad.
Yeah, I can only agree with that point. Like Tracy mentioned, it is time for a revamp, and if there is anything that you want to add, literally the scope is there, so we can change the topics, we can change the material, we can change the time, the format, how even the frequency. So this is the time that if you feel it's not working, then the only way I'll know is if you tell me. So please phone in with your thoughts or feelings.
Now we can hear from Steve Edwards. Please go ahead, Steve.
Afternoon, Bradley. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I think this kind of reiterates what we were speaking about this morning. It's an awfully lonely place when you're doing these calls, and I only have to put up with it on the inner. Trying to get engagement is an incredibly difficult thing, and it's trying to find the right target, the right subject that generates conversation. I'm not sure I've got any answers for you right this second. It was more so you knew there were people out there listening to what you had to say. doing these things, I think the people that the audience that participate or that dial in need to appreciate it isn't easy for somebody to just sit there having to try and get a conversation going and being met by a wall of static. It's all about, this is supposed to be a two-way conversation. Yes, there's materials that we use to do the briefings to start it off, but then it's looking for that engagement from the audience, getting the participation. And I think Tracy said it absolutely perfect. The amount of people that dial in as a duty and don't actually listen to what's being said is amazingly frustrating and amazingly common. If there's a genuine interest in what's going to be talked about, great, because we can get a conversation going. But I would encourage those that are out there that listen to this every week or dial into the outer and the inner conference hours to realise this is their opportunity to speak their mind, to say whatever they want. If it generates conversation, if it gets interest, if it gets the blood boiling, it's doing something. Otherwise, it is a worthless task, and it is awfully, awfully soul-destroying for the poor person who sat trying to be the facilitator, the host. So, yeah, well done, Brad, and I hope you get a bit more input.
Yeah, cheers, Steve. Yeah, so we spoke a little bit this morning about topics and whether we should have different themes. So maybe once per period we could get a specialist in from an external party, be it a scientist or a doctor or anybody with new ideas or they're working on their individual projects that may be some interest to Network Rail as a whole or Wessex or the area that we're working in. So yeah, we played around with getting an updated topic list together that we could actually have external people come in instead of Network Rail staff talking to Network Rail staff, and we talk to each other every day to try and generate that interest. If anybody else agrees with that, disagrees with that, or has any ideas around that, or any other ideas regarding Safety Hour at all, then this is your time to get your voice heard, please.
We now can hear from
Mike Stiles.
Please go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Brad. For there's potentially some information I've lost in just trying to ask the question, but I'm sat here on the second floor of the Rock, and participation here is very poor. I think we really need to understand who our audience are, and then equally understand how best to communicate both Safety Hour and indeed any other issues or actions, because at the moment I personally don't feel like a lot of others that the Safety Hour is actually adding too much value. So I look around, I think there's about three people on the floor that are currently listening to this conference. So again, I don't know what has been said whilst been trying to ask the question, but I'm happy to sort of engage and support what other people are saying, and where I can help, I will.
All right, thank you, Mike. Yeah, so yeah, that's a big issue raised there about participation, and I spoke to a certain employee who works in Basingstoke today that never even knew that it was a thing that needed to be dialed into. It was just more for their information that wasn't relevant to their position at all. So yeah, it does need to be addressed about why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. But on that note, we're doing it for the people, so we need to make sure it fits the customer and get the customer's end goal in sight, because there's no point in rolling something out that doesn't need to be heard or listened to or has no interest or value. So yeah, I massively agree, Mike, and thanks for your input.
Okay, thank you.
No further questions currently, Bradley. Just a reminder, it's star 1 on your telephone. Record your name and press the hash key, please. Now we can hear from
Chris.
Go ahead, please, Chris.
Yes, I've in the past been quite a regular phoner-inner to this safety conference. Being ultra-passionate about safety, partly due to my length of service, due to the various posts that I've held, I seem to have a different degree of safety awareness to the rest of the company. And I found in the past that this has been a useful way of airing my concerns when apparently nobody else will listen. There is an element of banging your head against a brick wall, and I can't really say that there's any measurable progress being made. But there again, as I said, I'm out of step with your perception of you as a company in general, perception of safety, and mine.
Right, so How do you feel would be best practice going forward then, if that is your concern? Where would you like this Safety Hour to go?
No, what I'm saying is I think it has served quite well as a method of airing concerns, and maybe one or two people do take note, and maybe the majority ignore, I don't know. But it has been a good method. As to how it could be improved, difficult to say, really, except are you able to look at what other people are doing and say, well, they're doing it better, let's adopt what they're doing. Is that possible?
Yeah, so that's possible. I'm in communication with different groups, and I've linked up with an external company as well to see how they cascade safety information down. And a lot of feedback that I'm getting, and my thoughts and feelings are about feeding the information up. So be that the safety conversations that the maintenance or works delivery teams have on a Friday, that then gets discussed on the Tuesday on a conference call. So the actual real risks and concerns regarding safety, I would pose a question, maybe the more serious safety concerns, because it'll be the guys on another line, their concerns then gets transmitted up through the line management, and we get to hear real concerns instead of cascading information downwards. It comes up through the channel. That's as far as I've got with the process at the minute. I'm still looking into everything. So do you think that would be of benefit?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Is there anyone else with any concerns?
Nobody else in the queue at the moment, but just a reminder, it's *1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key.
Right, Chris, if you're still on, can I ask you a question? Are you the only one from your depot who phones in, or do other people in your depot phone in? You'll probably have to dial back in.
Yeah, just wait for Chris to come back in. We've got another person in the queue. I don't have her name, I'm afraid, but if you can just check that you're not self-needed, you can go ahead now, please.
Hello, it's Ian Mortimer here. It did sort of occur to me, Brad, that possibly we try and hit too many levels of employee with one phone call, and therefore we're trying to meet the demands or the requirements of the frontline staff mixed in with the office staff and senior management and middle management for that, and the approach may be that it needs to be different for each one of those levels. I quite like the idea that there's an open forum for the frontline staff to be able to reach higher levels of management, as Chris was pointing out. But then there may also be a case where, as I said, like Mike was saying, I'm looking around an office and there are slightly more people, but most people are listening in by stealth, should I say, because they sat at the desk with earphones plugged in. But we're not getting a lot of responses from them, because I could ask them, they want to stick their hands in the air and see what happens. I got four hands.
There you go.
So there's at least four people out of the seven listening. Although I walk around the corner, no, there's nobody else. Well, that's just an interesting test. So that's roughly 1% of the, 5% of the room are actually listening. Okay.
One size doesn't fit all. Then there needs to be different formats.
No, but I do like. I think the importance of the phone call is allowing people who are frontline staff to air their issues in an open forum that meets at a frequency that's fairly regular. and that we need to make sure that when, you know, people like Chris raise an issue, it's discussed on a weekly basis how we're getting on with that particular issue. And I think that's probably something that's missing as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your input, Ian.
No other questions waiting at the moment, Brad.
Okay, thanks.
Now we've got
Chris again.
Go ahead, please, Chris.
Yeah, you asked a question. Did anybody else in the depot phone in? Yes, one other person does from time to time. I must also say that it is easy in the depot because there's a very nice speakerphone, so anybody can speak and everybody can hear at the same time. Other people say, well, we're out on the track at that time and it's not really possible. But in my particular depot, it has been rather easy to do it. So yes, the answer is one other person does, and he did, in fact, ring in last week or the week before, I think.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Yeah, so that raises another point about the time that we hold these conference calls. If the point is to get voices heard, then the voices can't correctly be heard if they're expected to go out on, especially frontline staff, because they're not in office. So that also needs to be addressed, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Next question is from
Stampede.
Go ahead, please, Sam.
Sorry to phone in again. So just a quick point I was saying about, so this week is Mental Health Awareness Week, so things like that we could plug into quite easily, I thought. And I thought the best session that we've had so far on these calls was when we had people talking about, openly and honestly, about their issues that were affecting them. That mental health one was really good, people sharing, and we also had a doctor on that call as well. So your point about getting someone external to come in, and I think that would raise a number of people who are interested in listening.
Yeah, so yes, that all is around planning. The further out you get to plan your session, obviously the more resources you can pull together. So that definitely needs to be addressed about the certain themes. Well, like you're saying, the ones that have developed the best conversation are the ones that are best planned, because you get to pull in external resources. So again, thank you for your input, Sam. It's noted, and it will be looked at. As I say, this is the time to raise your concerns, because as I look forward, things will be changing. Will be actions put in place, so any actions you would like to see, this is the forum to say.
Sorry, Brad, am I still with you?
Yeah, you're still with me.
The other thing was, it was just mentioned earlier on about sitting around a speakerphone. That's really quite a nice idea, and that you get people in the room and they can at least see that they're interacting with the conversation. So if you assigned a room per building that people could go to whenever it is on, then people can listen together and that gets a bit more conversation.
We're in room 2.6 in Bagnestoke, if anyone wants to come and join us.
There you go.
So that is probably something that I could have picked up on the start of the call, and without that information I wouldn't have even thought about. I am in a conference room, well, not a conference room, but I am in a meeting room around a speaker at the minute. So that is exactly the point. If I plan this better, then that would have been looked at. So again, it all revolves around planning and information, passage of information, letting everyone know that Safety Hour will be the chaired in room 2.6. So thank you for that, Sam. Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
You're getting all excited, the door keeps going, but it's not people coming in here.
Now we have another question. This is from...
Sorry, did you answer?
Please go ahead.
Right, interesting question, Brad. Does safety hour have to be about safety directly? There are some topics that impact on safety, like, I don't know, eye ethics, a debate about eye ethics. Being ethical would be the first one. Someone, a particular process that was wrong. Third one, I would say shiny bottom behaviour. That would translate into normal language as, me as a shiny bottom, how can I impact on safety by some of the daft things I do? So in that, there are three subjects that I would throw out there, hopefully causing a bit of offence along the way, and ask, would that be included in a safety hour debate?
Yeah, so I cannot see why not. The whole purpose of safety hour is topic is chosen by ourselves, something relating to safety. Doesn't necessarily mean exactly what is on the... safety page per se, but something that is relative and we can trace back to safety as a whole. So your point there about the shiny bottoms, I believe you call them, is a good example of yes, how can shiny bottoms what was your point? How can shiny bottoms help improve safety? So
yeah, so it's about shiny bottom behaviour affecting the safety of our people. It's wider context,
which needs to be discussed in a forum such as Safety Hour. So we need to open up the forum and the topics to a wider variety.
So I have to ask, what is a shiny bottom?
I believe Tracy has a definition for you.
Yes, shiny bottom. Somebody works in an office and not on the track, in essence. And occasionally there are people that think safety doesn't affect, or what they do doesn't affect the safety of troops. So, shiny bottom.
Okay.
Thank you for that clear definition.
I have to go, so if you get a backlash from that one, I apologise.
Yeah, no, you just chuck a grenade in and then go off. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Take care, babe.
See ya.
No further questions at the moment, so just a reminder, it's star 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key, please.
This is where we are normally met with a wall of silence, so before everyone starts dialing off, I'd just like to thank everyone. If, again, this doesn't mean it's over, if you do have further information, my name is Bradley Smith, Scheme Project Manager, working in the Health and Safety Team. Please feel free to call me, email me, come visit me in Basingstoke. But thank you for all of your inputs today, they've been really helpful. And as I look forward, Safe Shower will be changing in the future, and I want to make it work for everyone. So you are the people that can make it change. So any information, please pass on.
Thank you very much, Bradley. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your call, so you can now disconnect. Thanks for joining. Do enjoy the rest of your day.